Welcome to the Ark Church Podcast. On here, you'll find all of our Sunday and Wednesday messages, as well as classes and special services. If you would like more information about the Ark Church, visit us at thearkchurch.com or download our app available to all app stores. Our heart for you is that you would live for God, grow stronger, and make a difference. Enjoy.
The text for our series has been out of John, the 16th chapter, verse 7. Jesus is talking to his disciples. He says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it's to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you, but if I depart, I'll send him to you." And he's talking about the Holy Spirit. As I was looking at this text again, I thought, I don't believe Jesus was simply hyping the Holy Spirit up to make them feel better because he was leaving. You know, sometimes how people will say something and they'll try to make you feel better, and they're really kind of stretching the truth. Jesus was the truth. He never stretched the truth. And if he said to his disciples, "It's to your advantage that I go away, because if I go, the Helper will come," he wasn't hyping anything. He was telling them the truth. And so he wasn't just simply trying to make them feel better. He was just letting them know that something good was coming. And so if the disciples, the ones who walked with him for 3 years, 3.5 years, if they needed help, how much more do we need help? How much more could we use help? We didn't have the personal experience of watching Jesus in the flesh, but thank God we have the Helper. So we begin to teach, and Jesus talks about the Holy Spirit and teaches, and we've gone through, and I won't recap all of it, but his last words to his disciples were important. John, really, the Apostle John, really covers a lot of Jesus' last words, and you see that in John 12 and 13, 14, 15, 16, 17. You get a lot of Jesus just teaching, and he's talking, and he's really giving them the Gospels in seed form. But he says this in John 14, verses 15 through 18. He said, "If you love me, keep my commandments, and I'll pray the Father, and he will give you another helper," this is talking about the Holy Spirit, "that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you." So Jesus is talking about, and he calls the Holy Spirit another helper. And another helper is another of the same kind. He's not just going, "I'm going to send you a lesser helper." It's the same quality, same kind of helper I am. And so Jesus, when he's saying, "This is to your advantage," he said, "You're getting someone like me. A helper of the same kind." Jesus had been their helper. Now they had the Holy Spirit. That word helper is parakletos. It means to comfort, to encourage, and to give aid. I've heard people talk sometimes about the Holy Spirit. The only thing they've ever said about him is how he is condemning them. And we're going to find that really the Holy Spirit's not there to condemn you. You say, "Well, Alan, when I sin, I feel so bad. I feel so condemned." Well, that's not the Holy Spirit condemning you. That's your own heart condemning you. And your own heart, you say, that's maybe what we would refer to as your conscience condemning you. And so oftentimes when we sin, we feel bad, and that's okay. It's called a godly sorrow. And if you feel bad, the best thing to do is just stop and say, "Lord, I'm sorry," and apologize and get it cleared up. He said, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so When you feel condemned, the Holy Spirit's not the one condemning you. He's the comforter. He's there to help you get back on the right track. He's the one to help you get back in the right place. He is the comforter, not the condemner. He's the one who comes forward on behalf of another. The Amplified Version says of this verse, this word parakletos, it means the comforter, the advocate, an intercessor, a counselor, a strengthener, and standby. With us forever. Jesus was leaving, but the Holy Spirit is always with us. Now, let me just talk just a little bit about this. When people say, I've made mistakes and I've sinned and the Holy Spirit left me. He didn't leave you. When you sin, you break fellowship, not relationship. When your kids messed up, I'm just talking about normal mess ups, not something toxic. They tried to kill you. I'm just talking about just a kid messing up. You don't look at them and go, "You're not my kid anymore." No, what happened is a lot of times when our children go off in the wrong direction, it breaks fellowship. We don't have the fellowship we'd like to have. Some of you understand that. Maybe your children have gone off in the wrong direction. They're not serving the Lord. And maybe they're against what you stand for. And it saddens you because you don't have the fellowship. You don't have that the get together, the sharing together. But they don't stop being your child. How many of you know that even if your kids have gone off the rails, you still love them? They're still your child. Hopefully you're still praying for them. You say, well, Alan, how do I even pray? Do I pray God break them? Break them. Don't pray God break them. God's not the breaker. God's the builder. Pray that the Lord will send laborers across their path. Someone that they will listen to. Because a lot of times, especially when it comes to family, they won't listen to you. You know, we used to have a saying in business, anyone from out of town was an expert. And a lot of times with family, I've said things to my own children and then had somebody else say it, and they're like, you know what so-and-so said? They said this, and you want to go, I've been saying that for years. But a lot of times they won't listen, so don't pray, Lord, break them. Just pray, Lord, send somebody across their path. Send someone they'll listen to. And then here's another thing. Let's be the people who can come across other people's path and be someone that they will listen to. So the Lord knows how to reach you. So He will not, the Holy Spirit doesn't, when you sin, when you mess up, the Holy Spirit doesn't leave you. Well, I've heard people say, well, you know, David prayed, don't take your Holy Spirit from me. David was a servant of God. You have a different relationship. You're a child of God. You're born of the Spirit. You actually have a better deal than David had. Now, I know we go, ooh, I don't believe. Listen, the Holy Spirit's anointing was on David as a prophet and as a king. But the Holy Spirit lives in us. See, that's in the Old Testament. Only a few people had the Holy Spirit in them or on them. And here, New Testament, when Jesus was crucified and raised from the dead, the veil in the temple ripped. And no longer did the Spirit of God only live in the temple and on a certain few. Now He lives in us. And that's good news. And so again, the Holy Spirit didn't out. And Jesus said this. He called Him the Spirit of Truth. And this is important. This is where we have to learn. And I can't go all into it tonight. But this is where we have to learn to listen to the Holy Spirit on the inside of us. Because we're now dealing with, I think, more deception today than we ever have in history. Because now not only do we have, you say, well, I know there's a lot of sketchy people out there. Listen, it's not just sketchy people out there, but on the internet and with AI, please don't believe everything you hear. I just saw something today, and I thought, are you kidding me? It was, they showed a picture of people who have died, actors who have died recently. And they had a picture of Elizabeth Shue. She isn't dead. And they're listing people, and you see all the comments going, they're alive, they're alive, they're alive. Listen, just because AI says it, it's not like thus saith the Lord. Thus saith AI needs to be checked out. And a lot of times, you just have to go by a sense by a witness of something doesn't feel right. A lot of times if something just doesn't feel right, it's because it's not. Joy and I, it was months ago, were just this close to getting scammed by a phone call that came in from our bank. Bank showed up on the thing, and all of a sudden we're dealing, and we're talking with this individual, and both of us are like, I don't feel. Finally, we ended the conversation. And sure enough, they had tried to scam us, tried to get into our bank accounts, and did not. But it's happening all the time. But if we have the Spirit of Truth on the inside of us, who can warn us, this isn't right. We got to learn how to pay attention to that. Years ago when the internet was just really getting started, this was in the 90s, we had started the church. We started the church in 96 and 97. We moved into the offices, which were over in a roller rink over across the freeway. And we had set up, and I'd set up my internet. Remember the internet that used to make that noise? That used to make that beep, beep, you know? Man, I set it up. We're cranking now. I get an email from someone that said that there was someone who had left us a lot of money, like millions of dollars. And we needed to contact this person, and it was going to take some money to get the funds released. Now, this is brand new stuff on me. And I remember I started going into it, and I'm like, no, that didn't feel right. It was a scam. And it was a scam, and they haven't stopped, guys. And you're going to have to, but thank God we have a spirit of truth. You can listen to a preacher and go, that ain't right. Not me, of course, but I'm talking about other people. But you ought to be able to, but listen, you ought to be able to listen to any preacher. I don't care who they are. And if something's not right, you need to be able to check out with Scripture. Amen. We've got a saying around here, don't get mad, get Scripture. Find Scripture to back up what you're believing. But the Holy Spirit will witness to you something's not right. Listen, He'll witness to you in a dating situation. Get away from this one. Some of y'all need to learn catch and release. It works for fish. It works for potential spouses. And if the Holy Spirit witnesses to you, this is the wrong one. Now, my daughter can tell you, she got involved in a relationship that became abusive. And that'll rattle your cage. And she told us later on, she said, the Holy Spirit witnessed to me to get out of the relationship. Told me a few times. Listen, if He's telling you to do that, get out. Amen. Get out while the getting is good. Because the deeper you get into it, the harder it is to separate. Don't know who that's for. That was totally free. But the Spirit of Truth will bear witness with you. He said that the world cannot receive Him. Jesus said the world cannot receive Him. He has to receive Jesus first. And then the Holy Spirit would be with them. He said in the revelation was that He would be in them. I liked something that Jesus also said. He said, I will not leave you orphans. That word orphan means comfortless, obscure, and in the dark. Orphans were probably some of the most disadvantaged people of the ancient world. If you didn't have parents, if you were an orphan, you were in a tough situation. He said, I'm not going to leave you orphans. I'm going to come to you. He sent the Holy Spirit, His Spirit, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. He sent to live in us. We're not orphans, so thank God we don't have to act like we're orphans. We don't have to act like we're alone, because we're not. Jesus said the Helper would come. Again, He's talking about the Helper in John, the 14th chapter, verse 25. He said, these things I have spoken to you by being present with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. Now, this is good news right here. The Helper will come in Jesus' name to represent and act in the authority of Jesus. And part of His help is teaching us and reminding us. Jesus had been their teacher, but He's no longer going to be physically present. So He gave us another helper, and He can teach us all things because He knows all things. This is 1 Corinthians. Look at this passage right here in 1 Corinthians. Paul is writing to the Corinthian church. He said, well, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. So he was saying that the Holy Spirit has come to begin to reveal to us what God has given us. We've talked a lot in here about our identity in Christ, and the Holy Spirit can make that even more real. He can teach you these things because He knows these things. Now, you got to put yourself in a position to learn. And you're here on Wednesday nights. You're learning. When you read your Bible, because everyone here reads Bible 365. And so when you're reading Bible 365, you're putting yourself in a position to learn. Have you ever been reading the scriptures and all of a sudden just something just jumps at you?
Yes.
And you're like, oh, man, I didn't see that before. I haven't seen that before. Well, yeah, the Holy Spirit was involved in that. It's not that you're brilliant. I know you're smart, but it's not that you're brilliant. This is revelation. He's teaching. He's helping you. He understands all things. He knows all things. So he can teach us all things. Well, I'm so glad. That, you know, I think sometimes, I think we make too big of a deal over people, not realizing that anybody who's got something from God, it's from God. They received it. I know sometimes I'll say this, that I have no better standing before the throne of God than you do. And that always kind of makes people like quiet. It's like, because we, in America especially, we kind of have a superstar mentality. There's me, and then there's the superstars. And then, you know, to some of you, I can remember I walk in sometime and go, oh, there he is. Well, what? But people see people on television. People see people who are well-known. They see people who have an anointing. Listen, anybody who's got something from God, they didn't get it on their own. John the Baptist said a man can receive nothing unless he receives it from heaven. Anything that I have, and this always comes as a shock. I have just the same challenges that you do following God and obeying God and believing the Word of God. Same challenges. I don't live in rarefied air where Joy and I wake up and there's a choir of angels singing. They're up. It doesn't work that way. When I close that Bible and go home, I have to believe God the same way you do. See, I don't have an advantage. Say, well, you preach it only because I have a gifting to do that. And if it wasn't for the Holy Spirit, I'd be up here and you'd go, dear God, would he quit? Oh, Lord. That's why Paul said, what do we have that we didn't receive? And this is why I don't like superstar mentality. Paul said, Paul, the apostle, the one you talk about had revelation, the one who spent time in heaven, the one who saw the Lord Jesus. He said, you know how you ought to consider me? Consider me as a servant of Christ and a steward or a manager of the mysteries of God. You know how we ought to receive? So what I'm saying is, so when you look at me or you look at any other preacher or you look at Joy or you look at anyone who's leading, you ought not to go, oh, they're amazing. I wish I could be like them. No, you don't wish you could be like them. You got the same Holy Spirit living on the inside of you, and that same Holy Spirit can help you do whatever you need to do. He can help you do whatever you need to do, and whatever you're called to do, he'll equip you to do it. Some of you have real giftings. You can work with your hands and create things. And you always thank God for that. I have no gifting in my hands. It all went to my mouth. It left my hands. I got nothing. Things break down around my house and Joy tells me. And I'm like, why are you telling me? The only thing I can do is clean up dog vomit and unplug a toilet. I am gifted at unplugging a toilet. Outside of that, it's over, guys. That's it. But the idea, listen, people have different giftings. They have different abilities. And so we ought not to make such a big deal out of people. There's one that we ought to make a big deal of. That's Jesus and everybody else. Everybody else, it's all even playing field. Well, you're going, well, if it's all even playing field, I'm preaching next week. No, you're not. Because that's not what you're called to do. We all operate in the giftings and callings that God has given us. But I'm very, very serious on this, guys. I have to pray like you do. I have to seek God like you do. I don't have a fast pass into the throne room. You know what the fast pass is?
Yes.
You ever been to Disney World?
Yes.
If you want to skip the line, you get a fast pass. I don't have a fast pass into the throne room. It's not like the angels see me come and go, hey, there he is, move out of the way. It's Alan, he's coming through. No. We all come the same way. We come by the name of Jesus.
Amen.
And listen, the Holy Spirit's just as willing to help you as he is to help me. Uh-oh, where'd you go? Just as willing to help you as he is to help me. To do what you do, to teach you, to open. But this is what we have to do, guys. We have to open up our hearts and go, Lord, thank you. Thank you. It's not just, oh, some people have it and some people don't. It's like, Lord, thank you. You've given me the Holy Spirit. Amen. He can help me. He can teach me. I can read my Bible. Stop saying, I can't get anything out of reading my Bible. You got the author living on the inside of you. He can uncover things to you. Amen. And you can see things. You go, oh, look at this. Look what I saw. No, look what probably was revealed to you, which is great. But he can do that. What you don't want to do is don't disqualify yourself. Don't take yourself out because you're just you and you're not special. But to God, you are. Because he paid a great price for you. And so you are special. And so this is why I keep saying, we're his favorites. Say, well, you're his favorite. Mm-mm. All of us are his favorites. In Christ, we're accepted in the beloved. The Bible said we're accepted. That word means highly favored in the beloved. Problem is we've grown up with, maybe your sister was the favorite. Maybe you knew someone that was the favorite, and it wasn't you. Aren't you glad you got a new father? Amen. And you can come before him, and you're his favorite. He looks at you, and he goes, there's Chuck. Chuck's my favorite. And there's Chick. Chick's my favorite. What's your name?
Bobby Joe.
Bobby Joe. Bobby Joe's the favorite. Are you too old to be a favorite? No, you're not. Trick question. No, you're not. Say it's not about age. It's not about background. It's not about race. It's not about how you look. It's about who you belong to. And if you belong to him, you're a favorite. You're accepted in the beloved. And see, the Holy Spirit will make that. See, he'll make that real to you. See, when I say things like that, something on the inside of you goes, that's right. That's right. And the Bible says the Holy Spirit will bear witness with us. In other words, when you made Jesus your Lord, and you went, I'm saved. And the Holy Spirit went, yeah, that's right. You're saved. You're a child of God. And something on the inside goes, that's right. That's right. So you hear something like this and you go, well, that's good. Well, that's the Holy Spirit letting you know. That's good. Yeah, he's right. You're a favorite. So Jesus was talking, and he's talked about the Holy Spirit reminds us. He teaches us all things. He reminds us of things. He reminds us of scriptures, what the Lord has said. I know many of you have ever had this happen. You're thinking about something, or you're praying about something, or you're asking about something, and a scripture would just come up in you. Anybody ever have that happen? Where a scripture. Now, here's the key. Say, well, Helen, scripture never comes up into me. You got to read the scriptures to have something to draw from. If you've got no food in your pantry, you can open the door and look in there all the day and go, there's nothing in here. So you got to put something in. So if you want scripture to come out, if you want the Holy Spirit to bring something to your remembrance, put something in. And so he's got something to work with. Does that make sense?
Yes.
You got nothing in the pantry. You know, if you go to the pantry and go, I'm going to make something to eat. You go look and there's nothing in there. You're like, well, I guess we're not eating. But if your pantry is stocked, you're like, okay, we got choices here. The Holy Spirit can bring things to our remembrance. When we first started the church, we had like the bank funded us was the Bank of Clayton. And it was not a well-funded bank. We started with $1,500. And yeah, woo is not woo. No, no woo. That's woo. We didn't have much, and we got started, and no one knew who we were. And we were going along and the church began to grow. We started with two other couples, and then it began to grow. And after a while, we had over 100 people, and we were looking for a place. And we found a place, we found a roller rink here. And I had called a realtor and told her, I said, I'm looking for a realtor. And this realtor said, okay, and I'll be the realtor. Well, she didn't find a place. One of the church members found it, connected me with Jim Sebastian. And so we were up here, and man, we were doing the deal, and the realtor called me. She said, I understand that you guys did this deal. We said, yeah. She said, well, you owe me $5,000. And I didn't have a witness on that. I didn't feel good about that at all. I'm like, what? She said, well, yeah, you're a realtor. Yeah, I said, but you didn't find it. She said, yeah, but we had nothing written. And man, I'm ticked, angry, upset, because we didn't even have the money. We didn't have $5,000. And I remember I asked Mark Verrett. Mark is one of our, he's one of our board members and a founding member. He's the architect for here. I asked Mark, and Mark said, well, you know, I might want to pray about it. I'm like, great. It's not really what I wanted to do. I didn't want to get the Lord involved in this. And so I prayed about it, and I'm driving up 45. And that verse came up. Man smites you on one cheek, turn the other cheek. I'm like, oh, get thee behind me, Satan. I know that. That wasn't Satan. That was the Lord. And that was the Holy Spirit bringing a verse to my memory. Bring it up. When that happens, don't go, wow, I've got an amazing memory. No, you have an amazing helper on the inside of you, and he's bringing something to you. And when you talk, I'm like, oh, Lord. And I wasn't going to argue with it. I knew it was the Lord. I called Mark. Mark said, yeah, it's the Lord. And I remember I called this realtor up. I said, okay, I'm gonna give you the money. I said, I don't have all of it. I said, let me give you half now. I'll give you half in 6 months. And we did that. And Jim Sebastian was the one we were renting the place from. Jim's in heaven now. Made him so mad. He told his wife. He said, that stupid preacher. He said, I don't want to do business with someone like that. He said, I don't even want to do business with someone like that. And she, Miss Sebastian, Carolyn Sebastian, she's a sweetheart. She said, Jim, she had real southern. She said, Jim, the Lord's going to bless that man for doing that. And that realtor spread. We were new in the community, but that realtor said nothing but good things about us. So we already started to develop a good reputation. And Jim and his wife started coming. Jim didn't know the Lord. Jim and his wife started coming, and one morning, Jim bowed his head, asked Jesus to be the Lord of his life. The Lord knows what he's doing. He can get us to the right place. Would you bow your head for a second? If you're here and you've never made a decision or never asked Jesus to be the Lord of your life, or maybe you have done that in the past and you've gotten away from him, we're going to say a prayer. We're not going to have you stand up or come to the front, but if that's you that I'm talking to, and you say, you know what, you're online, and that's you, and you want our prayers, would you slip your hand up and say, Alan, that's me. I need to come to the Lord. I need to come back to him. Thanks. Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate your courage. Anybody else? Thank you. Put your hands down. We're going to pray. Join us in this prayer. We're all going to pray it out loud. If you're online, you can pray it. If you're by yourself, pray it out loud. If you're with other people, pray it quietly. Say, Dear God, I know mankind needs a Savior. I know I can't save myself. Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you died on the cross for my sins. And God raised you from the dead. Right now, I confess you as my Lord, as my Savior, as the one who forgives me and restores me. Thank you, Jesus. My past is forgiven. I have a relationship with you. I'm a new creation in Christ because I said yes to you. If Father, thank you for those that prayed that prayer. Thank you. What you've done in their hearts, thank you for those who've come to you and those who've come back. We rejoice with them. Give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for joining us. We hope this message has blessed you. Don't forget to check us out on all the social platforms. We're uploading encouraging content on a regular basis. For more information, go to thearcchurch.com. Have a great week.